Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It is time for us to go to God to explore His Word. I thank God for the opportunity for letting us gather and fellowship with one another as we expound on the Word of God. I thank each and every one of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule to come and join us on tonight. I thank God for allowing me to be able to go before His people. I just thank Him. I want you to know it's not because I'm so good, I did everything right, I know everything. But God has ordained this to be, and I'm in my place. And I thank you for gathering as well. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. And the title of the lesson is, Jesus Now Ready to Begin the Work that His Father Sent Him to Do. Jesus now is ready to begin the work that His Father had sent Him to do. As always, we have a song that will be played, and then we'll come and go to God's throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray when we come back after the song, you could press the one button. God is affording an opportunity to each one of you that you could pray. I'm going to play the song now, and we'll come back, and then we'll go to the throne of grace.
The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Hallelujah. It was a short song, but it told us everything that we needed to know. He was born in a manger. God watched over him from heaven, and he's going to take us back to where he lived when the time is right. That's our hope, y'all. And at this time, we have to go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. And at this time, if anyone would like to pray, please press the one button on your phone. This is an opportunity extended by God. To Heavenly Father, precious God, the giver of the perfect gift of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our high tower, our rock, our sword, and our shield, our Redeemer, hallelujah, our Deliverer, our Savior, hallelujah, the only true and living God, Jesus, God in the flesh. Hallelujah. I praise your holy name right now, dear God, because you're worthy of all the praises. And one of the reasons we were created to give you praise, to give you honor, and to give you glory. Which is only our reasonable service. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity for us to come together. And Lord, I pray that the lesson that goes out tonight, give us a different perspective of your son. Let us realize that your timing is always on time. And that you had a master plan for this world, for each and every one of us, as the song said, to be able to be taken to where you live. It is my desire and my hope, dear God, that the information that I give out on tonight, that the Holy Ghost will give illumination and revelation for us to see this perspective of your timing with your son, by sending him to the world so all of us will be made free. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your will. I thank you for your way. I thank you for your timing. I just thank you because I trust you. And I realize that trusting God means I know you know best. Lord, help us to make it through this perilous time that we live in. Adversity is on every side. And now it's the Christmas season, the season of giving. And many people try their hardest to be nicer than they were. But Lord, I hope that the Christmas season feelings and love go beyond Christmas Day. Lord, we pray and I pray that you have your way with this lesson tonight. I pray that it accomplished what you set out for it to accomplish. And I pray that you get glory and honor and blessing be upon all who hears it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, we have more callers that came on the line, so I'm going to say our title for tonight again. And the title is Jesus Now Ready to Begin the Work That His Father Sent Him to Do. We are in the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. As always, we do a little background. And I know that if you've been reading the Bible, studying the Bible, listening to sermons, and hearing people talk, you know, we know the story of Jesus. And we know it was in Bethlehem. And we know this and we know that. So I'm going to just add a little bit to it. And I'm going to try to bring you another perspective on tonight. You see, at this time of the year, our Christmas holiday season, it's truly known as the season of giving. Many corporations give. Everybody trying to buy a toy for someone who don't have a toy. People without food is getting food vouchers and turkeys and dressings to go along with their food. And people are more apt to give around this time because they get the fuzzy feeling of giving. But it's not just for a season. It should be always. You see, we realize that Jesus is the true reason for this season. You see, no matter what man's tried to do, Jesus is still the real reason for this season. You know, many have tried by taking Christ out of the word Christmas and call it Xmas, X-M-A-S. And they figure that'll do the trick. Others have removed the word Christmas from this season altogether and only says Happy Holiday. But I want you to know that nothing that man could ever do or say, Christ will still be and is the reason for this season. We have to go back a little bit, y'all, if I could get you to where we're going to study today. You see, God had a master plan, and it was before the foundation of the world. You see, by being all-knowing, he knew that man would fall into sin. Because of his love for us and the fact that sin separated us from him and we were all destined to die, God created us to have fellowship, to love on us and for us to love on him. And sin severed that tie. It separated us from God. But, oh, God had a master plan. So he created the only way to forgive our sins and offer a free gift for salvation. A free gift for salvation. You got to realize that God is an on-time God. His timing is not our time, and his ways are not our ways, and his will always be done. You see, he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes should not perish and have an everlasting life. See, God still wanted us even in the midst of our mess. So he gave his son. And tonight I want you to know that his son name is Jesus. And yes, Jesus was born on this day. As we celebrate December the 24th, many discussions can be open for that. You know, some say whatever the day was, Jesus was born, and his birth is deserved the honor to be celebrated. You see, I could just give you a little bit of it to get you to where we at tonight. You see, Jesus was born. We know it was in a manger. The animals was there. The angels let the shepherds, not the kings, not the high echelons, but the shepherds know. The shepherd came to the temple, to the manger, and they worship him. And then after that, the wise men, when Jesus was born, the wise men saw the star. Hallelujah. And they began their journey to find the newborn king. But when they found him, he was 2 years old in the house with his mother because it took him some time to get there. The next time we hear anything is when he's 12 years old and he was in a synagogue because he didn't go with his father, his mother, and his earthly father. And he was in a synagogue and he was reading strolls, and he was teaching and explaining what it really meant, and they were astonished. 12 years old. Where my lesson began tonight is he's now on the scene. And all the while, he was being prepared by his father to begin the ministry that God sent him to do, saying this, that God has timing. We looked at this. He was born. He was 12, and now he's 30. So when we have things going on in our life and we think, why is God taking so long? God is on his own time. Please get that tonight and wait patiently for your change to come. God has perfect timing. And when he created his master plan, like I said earlier, before the foundation of the world, everything had a timetable. And it couldn't be rushed. And thank God it couldn't be slowed down. So we're going to go into the scripture at this time, and we're in the book of Matthew's, and I pray that you have your Bibles. This is Bible study. And I'm going to start in the 4th chapter, the 1st verse, and I'm going to read to the 11th verse. And the scripture reads, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I'm going to stop there 1 minute to show you this. Jesus was led up to the wilderness by the Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. Satan didn't make Jesus come there. Jesus didn't decide on his own to go there, but he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. 3, and when the tempter came, talking about Satan, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now Satan came, and he tempted him, you see, and tell him to do that. Now I'm going to show you how Satan works, because I'm going to show it to you with this, and you can realize that's how he worked with us in our lives. You see, but verse 4 said, answered and said to him, talking about Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, if you know anything about Satan, Satan is pure worldly. The Bible describes the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan don't have nothing new. He has to use the same tricks over and over and over. That's why when we see somebody who's doing certain things, we could almost know their next move. Because everybody who do these things usually do it in the same pattern. Because that's all Satan have. He don't have no new tricks. So when he told him about, he knew Jesus was hungry. And he knew that he thought he could get him like that. You know, in the Bible, they had the two brothers and one sold their birthright. Because he had afterward hunger. Come on, y'all. And he tempted his brother. His brother told him, if you give me your birthright, I'll give you this soup. You see, Satan used the same things over and over. What he was trying to get Jesus here to do is to give up his birthright as the Son of God. See, what Satan was doing was using the lust of the flesh. Because you see, your spirit don't want food. Your spirit want godly food. But your body, your flesh want physical food. So Satan was shooting his best shot with his old bag of tricks. But Jesus corrected him, and how did he do it? With the word of God. And that's how we have to do with some temptations come in our lives. Because the temptation that come in our lives is not the sin. It's when we act on it, it becomes the sin. Come on, y'all. So Jesus told him and corrected him and stayed strong by using the word of God. Verse 5, then the devil taking him into the holy city and setting him on a pedestal in the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, if, Satan used that if card on us all the time. If I was you, I wouldn't do this or that. If I was you, I wouldn't let them get away with that. If I was you, I would never forgive them. If I was you, I would save my breath trying to tell somebody about Jesus. If I was you, I'll stop asking him about trying to be saved. Because you know, you'd have been telling them and asking them over and over and over and over and over again. And it just don't seem to work. If. So Satan used his if game on Jesus. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's saying, look, you talking about you the Son of God, and you got to remember, when this incident happened, Jesus had just got baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus come on the scene. He get baptized by John the Baptist. And the heavens open up. And God say, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Satan heard it. Satan wasn't fault, because Satan has a master plan and agenda as well. And it started in his mind in the beginning. So he tell him that. But look what Jesus tell him in verse 7. It is written again. He said, let me tell you again. You told me that, and I told you what it was written. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay, the first one, he tried to get him with the lust of the flesh. Now he's trying to get him to have the pride of life, the big head, to buck up against God. If you say you my heavenly Father, and I do jump, it's your job to save me. So the man, it don't go like that. Say you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Satan was trying to make Jesus get the big head, which falls under the category of the pride of life. And then verse 8, again the devil take him up an exceedingly high mountain and show him all the kingdom of the world. And the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I will give thee, if thou just fall down and worship me. He brought him up there and let him use his eyes. You know, he showed him everything, and he wanted him to have pride of life and get the big head and figure I could own this and I could be this and I could be that. That's how God gets us. Some people may have seen somebody driving a Mercedes Benz, and they want it because they saw it. And it's all right, first of all, if you could afford it. But someone who can't afford it, because they've seen it with their eyes. They want it at any cost necessary. People like that have created in the world repo companies. Come on, y'all. But Satan was using his only tools he got. See, that's why the Bible tells us our weapons are not carnal. Carnal is the things of the world. See, Satan only has these kind of weapons, the weapons of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he was using those tactics on Jesus, but we see that Jesus overcame. Then in verse 10, Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." You know, he was trying to get Jesus to come on his side. He was shooting his best shot, y'all. He knew how the story is told. He said, if I could just get him to come over to me. And you see, because Jesus never agreed, that's why Satan is still going to establish his son. You know, he copycat. He copies off of what God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost does. And you see, by God's son, who God just authenticated and promised to give all of the power that's going to destroy Satan. Satan here tries to get Jesus to come on his side, but then when it don't work, he began to develop antichrist, those that are against Christ. And anti mean anything that's against something. So anyone that's against Christ is antichrist. Now, the antichrist of the world, even today, is not the antichrist who Satan will establish in the times to come. Just like God has a son, Satan wants a son. Just like God has a spirit, Satan wants a spirit. And his spirit is the false prophet. Satan as the father, the antichrist as the son, and the false prophet, the false teacher, even in the world today, is symbolic of his spirit, the copycat rule. If we look at it, verse 11, they say, and the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered him. You see, when you there's a scripture in James 4 and 7 say, when you resist Satan, he's got to flee. If you remember back when Satan was doing all that he could to Job, every time he got ready to do something else, he had to go to God for permission. God allowed him to do it. And everything Satan could pull up out of that bag of tricks, really, God told him you can't take his life. So there was no more bags in the tricks. There was no more tricks in the bag for Satan to use. So after Satan had took the materialistic things, took the things he loved, his family, took all of his wealth, and then took his help, it was nothing else for him to take. So it's amazing in the book of Job, at that point, you never see Satan again. And just like right now, the devil leaves him, and behold, the angels came to minister unto him. This is so good. So saying all of that, I want to get you to the point, and we can reflect on the title. The title of the lesson is, Jesus Now Ready to Begin the Work That His Father Sent Him to Do. Now, if we go to the book of Matthew, where the scripture is coming from, it tells us that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, then immediately led by the Spirit to be tempted, and then he started his ministry. That's God's timing, y'all. When Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened up and declared Jesus as the Son of God. And Satan began to shake in his boots. Because you see, the total Bible, the Old Testament and all of the New Testament point to Jesus Christ. You see, Satan know what Isaiah said, and he know what Jeremiah said about the coming of the Messiah. Come on, y'all. He knew these scriptures. So he was trying to stop him in his tracks. But we see it didn't work. But you see, Jesus starts his ministry now. And most of the time we say he was at the age of 30. Look what had to happen first. He was baptized. That brought the Holy Spirit in. Come on, y'all. Come on. The Trinity is here present with Jesus from the beginning. And he will be with Jesus until the end. You see, John the Baptist baptized him, and the Spirit laid upon him. So that introduced the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry. The Holy Spirit is what's helping us to perform the work in the ministry that God has given to us. Hallelujah, y'all. So the Holy Spirit is brought in. Come on. And then God authenticates him by opening the sky. He authenticates him. He's letting everybody know, this is my son, the one I promised to send because of my love for you to save the world. God now authenticates him. You see, this is what I'm talking about, God's perfect timing. He had to be baptized. God had to say who he was. God didn't want no guessing in the game. All these questions around and around. Is Jesus real? Is Jesus God's son? Is Jesus this? Read the scripture. And if we look at these temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, follow, you know, three basic things. The first temptation is what I told you, the flesh. And the second temptation, you know, is talking about the pride of life. Just do this and you're going to be all right. Given trying to get Jesus to get the big head. And then he tried to get him to worship him. God allowed us to see in the beginning the temptations of Jesus Christ because he knew our whole life is going to be filled with temptations. And he gave us a way to escape it by using the word of God. Here we see that Jesus wasn't tempted inside the temple. He didn't even try to tempt him at his baptism. But he waited till he was in the desert. He waited till he was tired, alone, and hungry. And Satan really thought most vulnerable. But you got to realize God's timing is important. Jesus hungered. See, God was establishing and giving evidence of what this is all about. See, when Jesus hungered, it showed that he was fully man and yet fully God. Satan used the world tactics over and over again, y'all. He has nothing new. You see, this gave Jesus the opportunity to reaffirm God's master plan for his ministry, for our salvation, that he would be sinless, that he could resist temptation, that he is the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit did light up on him, and the Holy Spirit is what's going to aid him in performing the miracles and the wonders that God has placed in him in his ministry. And it's the same that God has done for us. You see, Jesus' temptation was to take the world over as a political ruler and to not carry out the plan to save the world. Everywhere in the gospel, the people want Jesus to be an earthly king. Y'all know when Jesus rode on the donkey, on the colt through Jerusalem, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they was talking and they was trying to get him to agree to be the earthly king and take care of the Romans who was suppressing them for so long. And when they realized that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, they turned and said, crucify him. But you see, after Jesus stood his ground, he used the word of God. He defected Satan, and God smiled down on him. And the scripture says that the devil leaved him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, at age 30, he began the ministry that I keep talking about, the work that God sent him to do before the foundation of the world, the ministry to save us, deliver us, to sanctify us, to glorify us at some other point. But it's all about the timing. Age 30, he began the work that his father sent him to do. You might be asking, why 30? Why 30? That's 30 years. But I want you to know, y'all, it's all about God's timing. You see, Numbers 4 and 3 tell us, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the holds to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, there was a time when men could become priests. Don't y'all know that Jesus is now our high priest? So why would God do something, even though he could do whatever he wants, out of order for what he had already established? Y'all got to realize that Jesus, God used what is established to accomplish what he want to do. So what sense would it have made God to be out of order with something like this? The age when you go into the ministry and the age when you become up in the priesthood and things like that was 30. Isn't it so amazing that God waited till Jesus was 30 for him to begin his ministry? And I come to tell you that the truth of Jesus' ministry was short, because it only lasted 3, and some say 3.5 years. But I can tell you this with all confidence: he accomplished everything that he was sent to do. His ministry was no longer than it had to be. Come on, y'all. God's perfect timing. You see, Jesus finished the work of preaching the gospel. Luke 4 and 43 says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what he came to do. I was sent for this purpose and redeeming mankind. Because in Hebrews 7 and 27, it says, who needed not, as though high those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered himself. Come on, y'all. Jesus said, I come to abolish the need for sacrificing. Because the part of my ministry is I'm a guy, and I'm going to become the perfect Lamb of God without spots and blemishes. And I'm going to take away all the sins of the world now and forevermore and before. And it would be no more need to offer lambs and goats and bulls on the altar. He said, I'm the one. And then if we go to John 6:38, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. And then Jesus cried in the temple in John 7:28. He said, in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. Now Jesus authenticating the Father as the Father authenticates the Son, and both of them authenticates the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one, the Holy Trinity. Jesus spoke only what the Father told him to speak, and he did only what the Father told him to do. His single focus goal, listen at this, y'all. He had tunnel vision. His single focus goal was to accomplish his Father's will. That's beautiful. He's starting his ministry, y'all, but he's getting some things straight. And then in John 4:34, he said, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Come on, y'all. And we all know that's exactly what he did. God sent his son on a mission. And the mission was accomplished. Yeah, we all know. And we could take a look at Jesus. And some things we could say that he is God in the flesh. We knew that mankind needed a savior because of sin. God allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh and become Jesus, the only sacrifice worthy. We know he was born in Bethlehem. We know the wise men visited him at 30. We also know that he was baptized by John the Baptist. He was tempted by the devil. And then he started his ministry. And in his ministry, he got him some men to work with him because he knew his time wasn't long. And he wanted to lead people ready, willing, and able to do what he started. See, that's what a good leader does. And he got his 12 disciples, and he went to work. He went in the highways and on the byways teaching and doing miracles and things because he wanted to be our perfect example of how to live here on earth. He wanted us to show us how to love ye one another. He wanted us to know that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. He wanted to tell us that as I forgive you, you learn to forgive others. And he began to walk and preach and teach. And yes, he did heal the sick. He even gave sight to the blind. He allowed the lame to walk and the deaf to talk. He cast out demons. He walked the earth and never sinned. Our perfect example. He told us in the book of Matthew, not so far after he had been tempted, because we if you go to the sixth chapter and his temptation was the fourth chapter. He told you, in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. He says, seek me first in the kingdom of God and righteousness. He's saying you're going to be all right because all things are going to be added unto you. He said, but you got to trust me. And then his ministry, because of God's timing, the time was up for him to be our example. Come on, y'all. The time had came to an end. And Jesus knew that his time was ending. And they came to get him, to crucify him. We remember he stopped in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed and he prayed. And he asked God, if you could remove this cup from me, please do it. And Jesus prayed and prayed. And they came and got him. And when a soldier, one of his men, was the one that crossed him for 30 pieces of silver. And he showed them who he was giving them, or giving over to them with a kiss. That's why they said a kiss of death. And they took him. Peter cut the man's ear off. And God showed us. He picked the ear up. Jesus showed us. He picked the man's ear up, put it back on his head. And it's almost like he was telling us in the Bible that this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. He said, I keep trying to show you I'm all right. I came to do the will of my Father. I come to do the ministry that God has given me. How many of us could say that, y'all? He said, my main focus is God, righteousness, and the things of God. We won't be perfect like Jesus, but we could try. We could do our best. Because God's not looking for our perfection. He just want to know what direction. You see, when God, Jesus Christ started on that road in that direction, he didn't turn to the left and to the right. He didn't back up. Come on, y'all. He didn't take a break or go on vacation. He kept doing the will of the Father. Well, lo and behold, they came and they tried him. They couldn't find anything, but they still labored him guilty. And they beat him all night long. I'm talking about that baby that came in a, was laying in a manger. That two-year-old boy that the wise men found in the house. That boy at 12 years old, teaching in a synagogue about the things that God really meant and what they were hearing. I'm talking about that baby boy, Jesus. He grew up and they whipped him all night long. They nailed him to a cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. I'm talking about Jesus, y'all. But on the third day, but let's back up a little bit. Before the third day, when he was on the cross, he gave seven sayings. But the one that I just want to touch on right now is when he says, it is finished. He was saying, I accomplished the ministry that my Father gave me. I've done what he's asked me to do. He's saying, now, we say it is finished. They took him off the cross, they buried him, and on the third day he rose with all power in his hand. I'm talking about Jesus, y'all. Jesus accomplished what the Father set out for him to accomplish. And that's how we have to be about our Father's business. And God is not going to ask you to be the Savior. You may never be able to walk on water. You might not be able to feed a multitude with two fish and a loaf of bread. But what God has designed for you is for you. Jesus became our perfect example. And when he left, he gave us his spirit. He's saying the Holy Ghost is going to do everything for you that I would do if I was still here, part of the Trinity, the third person. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He said, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would tell you. God is preparing, Jesus is preparing a place for us, y'all. He's going to come back and rapture the church. And we're going to sit at the seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where all believers and only believers will go. And the only thing that God will look at is our work and our deeds. And only the things we do for Christ is going to last and be able to go with us there. So I encourage you on this a couple of days before Christmas, to keep Christ in your Christmas. And the only way you could truly do it is you got to know him. You got to know these things, and you got to see how it started in the middle and the where it's at now. You got to know what you're waiting for. I'm waiting for Jesus to come back. So we have to be about our Father's business. God is not going to ask you to do anything he haven't equipped you to do. What God has for me to do is not the same thing he has for you to do. But all of us have something to do. And when we keep Christ in our Christmas, we are reflecting and remember the things. We're reflecting upon ourselves and realizing what we could do different, what we could do better, and what we're doing that we shouldn't do and take it out. That's the reflections on Christ as Christmas. And I'm going to just say this. Our life is a gift from God. I'm going to say it again. Our life is a gift from God. But what we do with the life that God has given becomes a gift to God. So on this Christmas holiday season, Christmas season, wherever there's so much gift given, God has given us every gift that is necessary for us to receive eternal life. And all he asks for us to do is to do the work that he said before us. Just do the work as best you can, what is said before you. And you will be giving God the best present that he would like to receive, our bodies as living sacrifices. And that's our lesson for tonight. I would love any questions, comments, concerns, corrections. If anyone would like to give any encouragement, anyone would like to sing, or anyone would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Again, I thank each and every one of you who have come in on the line tonight, and I pray that your Christmas season be beautiful. Pray that you keep Christ in your Christmas. And since no one has anything to say, Okay, caller, your number is 321-615. Your mic is open. Your area code is 321. Maybe you might have pressed the button by mistake. And if you're talking,
okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, Minister Diane. I enjoyed the teaching on tonight. And just a constant reminder that Jesus had his assignment, and he came to do what he was assigned to do, and he didn't let anything deter him. And so we have to be mindful that we too, once we know our purpose and know our assignment, have to be stay focused and do what we're supposed to do and not let anyone get us off track and get us out of the will of God and get us so that we don't fulfill our purpose, our assignment that we're here, and know that we are here for a reason. And we just thank Jesus for being the example and setting the example, and we need to follow and just continue to work towards our goal and keep our eyes on the prize and just do what it is that he called us to do regardless of what people say or people's other opinion or, you know, what have you. And, yes, thank you for the lesson today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me your comments. It's always good to have feedback. It's always good. And I thank you so much, Sister Zarita.
You're welcome.
Young, calling in from Florida. Thank you so much for the feedback.
Welcome.
Anyone else? Well, I'll just do a benediction, and we're in our lesson for tonight. The next lesson that we're going to have we have another week in this month, January the 30th. Right before New Year's. So I thank everyone for calling in tonight. And our benediction tonight is coming from the book of Numbers, verses 6, chapter 6, verses 24 and 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's our benediction, and I pray that the Lord be with you until we meet again. And if it's your desire and God's will, we'll meet back again on December the 30th, Wednesday night, same time. And I just pray God's blessing upon each and every one of you. So be blessed, everybody, and thank you.